Hey, welcome to Because I Can, a live podcast. This is Allison. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am sitting here in Utah, and I literally just kicked my kids outside to, yes, go play in the snow so that I could record this intro and outro to this week's podcast episode. When we're in Puerto Rico, the kids say all the time, I want to go play in the snow. I miss the snow. So when we get here, they don't want to go play in the snow. It's too cold for them. So I told them to buck up, get their winter gear on, and go play out in the snow. So if you hear tromping in the background, it's because I think they're about to have a snowball fight soon. It should be pretty darn fun. All right. So this morning that I'm recording this podcast episode, we just opened the 5-day sprint to finding your perfect product to sell online. It has literally been open for 4 hours, and we have over 600 people that have already joined. So by the time that you're listening to this, if you haven't registered, go get in, because we are about to start on January 11th. You can get there, you can register for free at becauseicanlife.com/splash. Oh my goodness. Yep, we're recovering from the holidays. /sprint. becauseicanlife.com/sprint. Go sign up. Because the number one question that I get asked is, Allison, I want to start an online store. I don't even know what to sell. Well, let me just walk you through it. Why don't I hold your hand? I've been doing this for just about a decade, and I'm going to show you my exact process, which has led me to millions of dollars in sales online. I'm going to show you the exact same process. So the excuse of, oh my gosh, Allison, I want to start an online store so I can stay home with my kids, so that I can help pay off bills, so that I can, I don't know, whatever you do with your money. And then you always follow it up with, but I don't know what to sell. I'm going to squash that for you. Let me just help you. 5 days to finding your perfect product to sell online. And then the next excuse that might come into your head is, Allison, that's 5 days. I don't have 5 days. Really? You don't have 5 days? How long have you been trying to start your business? How long have you been trying to look for that perfect product to sell online? I'm guaranteeing it is over 5 days. So hop in. It's going to go by real quick. We're going to help you create that clarity so that you can get on your way. becauseicanlife.com/sprint. It's free. And we've got some good prizes, games happening right now. And I had to stop. All right, I'm back again. I had all three kids tromping in the house with a dog because they were freezing cold. Our cold tolerance has completely changed since we lived in Puerto Rico. Mine is a 0. I don't like cold. Kids, they're at about a 10 out of 100 now. We really like the warm weather in Puerto Rico. This white stuff, oh man. It's cold. That's all I'll say. It's cold. All right. So now let's dive into today's podcast episode. All right. Reel it back with me. Let me know. Have you ever had a friend who is completely honest with you? They're the friends you want to take on a shopping trip, because when you try on the Levi's and you say, hey, does my butt look big? They're the ones that are going to say, yeah, your butt looks big. But they're also the ones that say, you know what, let me go find you 5 more pair of pants, because I know you have a good butt. It's just those pants. They're the friends that are completely honest with you. Let's say you're thinking about something, or you're in a fight with your husband and you tell him about the fight, and they're like, really? Was it the husband, or was it you just in a bad mood? And you're like, oh, yeah, it was probably me just in a bad mood. Don't you love friends like that? They're the ones that will call you out because they love you, because they're watching out for you, because sometimes we get stuck in our own heads and we need another person to help us say, hey, wait a second. Are you sure you're thinking right? Let me help you solve your problem. Let me show you how to solve the problem. So I want you to think of that person right now. So this person to me, I actually met her a little over a year ago. We were at an entrepreneur party, and I've known her in the online space for a few years. I've actually followed her. She is very, very, like, I would say the queen. She and her husband are the queen of online
challenges. They know how to do a challenge like nobody's business. And they also know how to create Facebook groups that make movement in the world. So when I got introduced to her, I fangirled just a little bit. I tried to keep it on the down low, but I fangirled just a little bit and we became fast friends. Now, her name is Jill Stanton. So it's Josh and Jill, but I didn't really know that her husband ran part of the business. I always thought it was just Jill for a long time. So we became friends. We started Voxing, messaging back and forth. And then just a few months ago, she moved down to Puerto Rico. And we have been walking up to this tower 3 days a week. And some of the most amazing conversations have happened on this hike. And I wanted to bring you in on some of the conversations that we have that entrepreneurs face. Jill is a massively successful entrepreneur, and her advice has been absolutely life-changing. That's why I wanted to share it with you. I will be talking and, hey, I'm stuck with this. And she's like, why are you looking at a wall? Here, let me show you this view, and it's a complete window for you to be able to see where you're going. And so the stuff that she has to share with you, it's like that best friend that's going to help improve your life. So get ready. Here we go with Jill Stanton. Hey, you are listening to the Because I Can Life podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building 4 online multi-million dollar businesses with 4 kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at allisonjprince.com/bundle. All right, Jill is here. Jill just got done with our morning hike that we have been so consistent with. Threw on some makeup. We text each other to make sure we had the same hairdo.
Yes. Twinsies, we look cool.
And we talked about on our hike today, the most amazing thing that I think you can bring to people that are starting their business. And it's 3 ways that their mind and their thoughts are stopping them from getting to their first $100,000. And when you said that, when we started talking about that, and then the 3 things, I was like, whoa, this is going to be so good. So good. So let's first start out, tell people a little bit who you are, and then let's dive right into it.
Yeah. So I'm Jill Stanton. I'm one half of Screw the 9 to 5. And I'm now the founder of a new brand called Millionaire Girls Club, which is all mine. Woo-hoo. Something I've never done. I'm so excited about it. And I have a lot of feels, which I talk out with Allison every other day on our hikes.
And it's going to be so amazing. You're launching it January 12th.
Is my podcast launches January 12th. Yeah. Okay. But my IG is up and kicking. I mean, at the time of recording this, I don't know what's happening with my website. Yesterday it broke. So I hope by now it's fixed. But yeah, it's just this, I've had this idea for the last 2 years and I sat on it. And truthfully, as I peel back all the reasons why, I realized it all came down to mindset. It all came down to fear. It all came down to the beliefs I held about myself, you know, why it wasn't a good idea. I've been building businesses with my husband since 2012, and I use that as a crutch. You know, Josh is very structured. He's very logical. He's a great teacher. He's a great coach. And I realize I made that mean that I wasn't as good as him. Not that I couldn't have like my own style or my own flow or my own mission, just like I compared myself to him, even though he's been teaching and coaching for, you know, 8 years. And so that's what the mind will do to us. That's where our beliefs come in.
And it's so interesting.
They can really do a number on us.
Because I was telling you, I only knew you as your brand. I didn't even know who Josh was. I thought you...
The minute you said that, I was like, wow, that was a big eye-opener.
So fascinating how our brain tells us other things that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so keep going.
That's why I love our hill hikes, because you and I each work out our own stuff. mm-hmm. right? Like you've peeled back so much of your stuff where you thought, you know, no, it has to be this way or it can't be this because of this. Mm-hmm. And I've worked through the same stuff. Like, oh my God, what happens if MGC doesn't work? Or what happens if people don't like it? Or what happens if it falls flat? Or no one wants to coach with me or whatever it is, right? Like, am I sabotaging Screw the 9 to 5 because I'm leaving it? Or not leaving it, but like stepping out of the day-to-day of it to build my own thing. And I realized as I started to really get conscious around this stuff is the only sabotage here is me not pulling the trigger on MGC and doing something that means so much to me. So again, this is like why I love all things mindset, because especially if you are in the beginning stages of your business, like we are not taught how to think like entrepreneurs. We are taught how to think like employees. That is what we learn in school. That is the overall, you know, vibe of the world, essentially, is we train up people to be great employees and to make, you know, a decent livable salary and not get too far ahead and struggle, have a lot of struggle and have a lot of like complaining in our lives. And so switching that mindset, going from thinking like an employee to thinking like an entrepreneur can trip a lot of people up because you don't, it's not natural, right? Like growth for most people feels really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so entrepreneurs lean into discomfort, whereas employees lean into comfort. And so it's kind of flipping that mm-hmm. and unwinding that, that can really trip people up. So I'm super excited to jam on this.
Yeah, you should have an Instagram card that says that.
It's true. I'm pretty sure I've definitely batched something around that. I'm a huge believer in it.
It's true. And I was listening to something the other day where they were talking about in school, we learn algebra, we learn our ABCs. Then we graduate and we go into this world that revolves around money, that revolves yes. around responsibility.
Yeah.
And we're not taught any of that. And then we're expected to survive and thrive. And there's no education around it. So anyway, yeah, I love that you said
especially
that.
Especially how to think in an empowering way about money. Not mm-hmm. like money's hard to make. Money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are greedy, which is like what most of us got taught, right? Like mm-hmm. we can't afford that. You know, there's not more where that came from. And that level of rhetoric or that conditioning, especially in our early years, is like such, it just feeds into our life in such insidious ways that we don't even realize until we start becoming like hyper conscious of this kind of stuff and acknowledging what we currently believe about money, about our ability to create success, about our ability to chase our dreams, about our ability to do whatever we want. If you are not becoming aware of that, there's no chance you'll be able to upgrade it because you're not aware of what you currently believe. And awareness is the like first domino to change. So,
and don't you think too, it's not only taught in school, but Hollywood, our movies that we watched.
Oh, for sure.
The whole thing about sure. money is greedy. I remember Lex Luthor, Superman.
Yes.
Right? It was all money and greed with him. And I think that's why we're having to break through so many beliefs when it comes to making our first $100,000. Because when you start at zero, you're a totally different person than when you get to your first $100,000. Yeah. You have to go through so much mind growth. It's not mm-hmm. money. It's mind growth yeah. that you're going to see. Sure, you'll have the money, which is great, but you can't have the same mindset at 100 that you did at zero. And then to get to 1 million, that takes another like total
quantum leap in yeah. the way you think. Mm-hmm. And I think like even to make your first dollar, you have to think different, like, right? Like yes. you have to believe you can do it. Mm-hmm. And then to make your first 1,000, your first 10,000, your first 100,000, your first, you know, 500,000. I mean, I feel like I'm not even the same person I was 3 weeks ago.
Agreed.
Right? Like entrepreneurs are, this is like the advantage we have is we're so comfortable with change, even though it doesn't feel comfortable, but we're agile, right? Like entrepreneurs will tweak and pivot at the drop of a hat. If something isn't working and we don't make that mean anything disempowering about us, like, oh my God, I'm a failure. We have like the most insane unfair advantage because we are agile and flexible.
But we weren't born with it.
No.
We had to learn it. We had to take, okay, let's say this product doesn't sell. It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Yes.
It means the offer sucks. It means yes. the picture stinks. It means there's yeah. something wrong with the offer, not the person.
And I think that's when people first get into it, they make it all about them.
Oh,
so it is that belief breaking of nope, it's not about you. You're amazing. You got good stuff. The world needs you. You just need to tweak it a little bit and get it to.
Because so many of us were taught failure's bad.
Yep.
Like when I remember hearing Sarah Blakely talk about this, that her dad asked her every day at dinner, what did you fail at today? And I love that. I'm absolutely going to do that with my son because failure isn't bad. And I used to make failure mean something bad about me. Mm-hmm. For years, I did that. It's only in the last, like I would say 2 or 3 years where I've reframed it to be like, oh, no, no, no. It's the most data-rich stream of info you could have. It allows you. And the one thing I want entrepreneurs, especially if you're just getting started, what I want you to hear is how the heck are you going to learn how to get it right if you don't first get it wrong?
Woohoo!
Right? Like sometimes we have to learn how to get it wrong in order to learn how to get it right. And I was saying that you and I are in a mastermind together, a couple, but when I was first talking about, you know, MGC and what I wanted to build with it, I got a lot of pushback from some of the members. Mm-hmm. And I remember sending a Vox that day or a text message in our Voxer channel saying, I think if I am going to get it wrong, well, at least that'll teach me how to get it right. Like if I am going to fall on my face, at least I know that I went to bat for what I wanted and I learned that lesson and I'll tweak from there because I no longer, I think that's one of the biggest superpowers entrepreneurs have. If you can reframe failure and realize that in the beginning, you are going to get it wrong because certain levels of things that you want or experiences you want to have or the money you want to make or what you want to build, that requires a certain level of skills and a certain level of capacity. And in the beginning, you are going to suck at it because we've never done it before, yes. Right? It's just like when you learn to walk or when you learn to drink from a cup of water without a bottle, like you didn't drop the water all over yourself and be like, well, I guess I'll never drink a cup of water. You know, you're like, note to self, I actually have to put it to my mouth.
Right. So, hey, so let's dive into that. You've got a toddler. So I love that you brought this analogy. Why do you think it is that when we're toddlers, we can hear no 1,000 times. When we're toddlers, we ask our mom for a cookie over and over and over again. She'll say no 10,000 times to us, but 10,001, she says yes. And we're like, woohoo. Mm-hmm. Why do we stop that? Why does that become a fear word as we move into the entrepreneur, when that really is the thing that guides us to the thing that we're wanting to get? What do you think it is?
Worthiness and conditioning. I think the conditioning, the constant messages we hear as a kid, even from well-meaning parents, right? Like my parents had the best of intentions with me, right? Like they really loved the heck out of me. They wanted me to succeed and they still got a few things wrong. Right? Like my sister is freakishly smart. She's an engineer. She got like high 90s all throughout school. Right. And my parents would call us Pinky in the Brain. Like if anyone's ever watched that, they did not have malice intentions, right? Like they were not doing that from a place of, or malicious intentions. Sorry. They weren't doing that from a place of malice. They were just like, ha, 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 Pinky in the Brain. This is hilarious. I internalize that as I am not smart. Right? So it's worthiness and conditioning. Like we make it mean stuff about us from cues and things that we heard our parents or authority figures, parental figures telling us about us, right? Because when we come into the world, we have like no worthiness or confidence issues. We're like, we deserve everything.
Run around naked.
I will cry until you give me what I want. We were unapologetic about it, right? Like my toddler is the boss of me right now. And he is not mad about it. I'm mad about it, but he's not mad about it. And then we start to learn, oh, you can't do that. That's not nice. That's not polite. That's not how good girls behave. And we get this like narrative handed to us. And because we trust those people, we take that on and we make it mean something about us. And if we learn that you're dumb if you fail, or you're never going to amount to anything, or failure is bad, you will take that on and you will avoid it at all costs. And sometimes avoiding failure at all costs looks like you never even trying, right? I can't fail if I don't try.
Yep. And that's safe.
Yes, it's so safe. Like but magic doesn't happen from safe.
No, it doesn't. Watching Netflix and eating Cheetos doesn't get you to your first million, but it feels a lot more comfortable.
For sure. And like we were saying before, entrepreneurs resist comfort, right? Like if you find yourself in a place of comfort, you're like, I'm going to need to change something up here. right? Because comfort is where things start to stagnate.
Agreed.
There's no growth in comfort. There's no magic in comfort. The contrast is what gives you the magic. The contrast, the highs and lows, the good and bad, the stresses and successes, the wins and losses. You wouldn't even be able to experience the wins if you didn't have the losses. You'd just be like that song, all I do is win, win, win.
You know on Instagram how we see all the before and after of weight loss stories?
Yeah.
I feel like there needs to be before and afters of business stories. More of
yes.
That. That'd be so
oh my gosh, cool. That's a great idea.
I know.
And the before is like a bottle of wine, like cookies all over your face. Like, I hate this. And looking all disheveled, not sleeping, your hair's up in a messy bun. It's also like every other day of my life. But
I was like, what's the after look like?
This put on for podcast interviews. No, it looks like our sweaty like selfies at the top of our hike.
I know, right?
That's the after.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go into three things that I believe you told me and I'm like, oh yeah, are going to help people to get to that 100,000. Like the things that are stopping them right now, we're going to stop them so that you can break through to your first 100,000. Okay, so
yes.
Number one.
So the first one is radical responsibility. And I really believe this is one of the most common traits amongst the most successful entrepreneurs I know. And it's the notion that you are the only one responsible for how you experience your life. And I always get pushback around this because people come at me and they're like, well, how am I responsible for growing up poor? Or how am I responsible for my VA who ghosted me? Or how am I responsible for my circumstances or coming out of a, you know, abusive or a traumatic childhood or anything like that. And it all comes down to responsibility, your ability to choose your response to any given situation, how you want to show up, right? The action you want to take moving forward, the focus you want to give something or not, the people you want to have in your life, the conversations you take part of, the investments you make in your business, the results you get, who you work with. You are responsible for it all. And when you get this, you will see how much power you have to take control of your life. So I always say to people in our boot camps and stuff inside Screw the 9 to 5, like, where are you not taking responsibility in your life? Where are you abdicating responsibility or blaming someone else or, you know, blaming, you know, I don't have this because of this person, or you're justifying why you don't have the results you want or the life you want or the money you want, the relationship you want, the team you want, the results you want, the friendship circle you want, all of that. When you justify that, you are giving your power away versus when you can sit in a place of responsibility, when you can be like, no, it's on me to create all of that. That's when you get back into the driver's seat of your life, because you can choose how you want to respond to any given circumstance or situation, right? Because your life will not fit around, or your beliefs or who you become will not fit around your life. Your life matches that. Your life matches your beliefs. Your life matches who you are being. And if you are being someone who sits in victim mentality and you complain and you blame and you justify all the reasons why you aren't where you want to be, you will forever be at the mercy of that until you step up and start taking responsibility for how you are showing up, what you are doing, the thoughts you are thinking, the beliefs you are holding, the actions you are taking, and the results you're getting.
Oh, that is so good. So good. Okay. So let's go back a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. Because they're thinking that to be truth, they are the victim, or this did happen to me. Mm-hmm. How does someone realize that? How do they say, oh, wait a second, that might not be truth. I haven't gotten out there and put my offer out into the world. That's why I'm not making sales. Instead of nobody's coming and buying from me. How do people stop with, I don't even know how to express this the right way, but it's their beliefs are so strong in what they believe that they don't know how to believe another way. What are some exercises or things they can do to start thinking differently?
I think the biggest thing you could do, or the most fundamental thing you could do in the beginning to build this awareness muscle, is acknowledging your current beliefs, right? Because you can't change what you don't acknowledge. And yes, I did just drop a Dr. Philism on this podcast because it's so true. So acknowledging, like, what do I currently believe about my ability to insert the outcome you want. What do I currently believe about my ability to sell $1 million in product on the internet? What do I currently believe about my ability to make my first $100,000? What do I currently believe about my ability to quit my job? What do I currently believe about my ability to take messy action? What do I currently believe about, you know what I mean? Like, you just ask yourself all of these things and you sit and you get quiet. Most people won't do this work because it's uncomfortable, right? Because once you have that awareness, you then have two choices. One, change it, take responsibility, become who you want to be, become the person who has the habits, who takes the actions, who sets the boundaries, right? And then honors those boundaries, who surrounds themselves with people who match their future. That's why I love what you're doing here for your community. Like, you are creating this cool community of women who are going after it. They're changing their lives by selling stuff from around their house in the beginning and putting that online in the year or the year and a bit that e-com became like the bee's knees of the world, right? Like, this is your guys' moment. And I love that you were like shepherding them through this process. So acknowledge that. Where am I currently at? What do I currently believe? And then, like I said, you have two choices. One, change it. Or two, keep doing the same thing. Stay the same person and keep getting the same results or lack of results that you've been getting, and continue to sit in victim mentality, complaining, blaming, and justifying why you don't have what you say you want.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Can I say one thing that you've helped me a ton with is you got to find someone who isn't afraid to yell at you in a nice way. So Jill and I, we've been going for these walks and I'll say something and Jill, you'll stop and you'll look at me and be like, huh?
No, that's
we got to rethink that. And then we talk it through. And at the end of it, I'm like, I didn't even realize that. Mm. And so surrounding yourself with people that aren't just yes, ma'ams, and saying, wait, why? And start questioning you about why you believe you can or can't do the things that you can do. So agreed. The whole
And you've done that for me with MGC, where I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. And like, what happens if people won't join my stuff? And you just give me, you breathe so much life into me. So same well, right back.
Because I can see it. I think we can see each other 100%. So much quicker. And the lies that we tell ourselves, then we can see in our own selves.
So true.
So find someone. So find someone if you can't figure out what questions to ask.
Find your hype woman.
Yep. Okay, let's go into number two, the second one. Okay.
Yes. So this is all about thought stacking, or essentially it's like, okay, I'm just going to call it thought stacking. And as you guys are listening to this, I want you to like ask yourself, have I ever said anything like this? Like, have you ever compared yourself to another entrepreneur online, right? Like, maybe for you, that looks like she's younger than me, or I should be further ahead by now, or she makes it look so easy, or she looks better than me. She's smarter than me. She has a bigger team. She comes from a better background. She makes more money. She has a bigger audience. She's better at sales than I am, or she's better at photography than I am, or she has more help, or like whatever it is, right? Have you ever found yourself getting into that trap? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you just keep thinking negative thoughts over and over and it starts to build so much momentum that it feels like you're spiraling? Mm. I have a feeling that a lot of people who are listening to this is like, right here, bro.
Everybody's
I did that like this morning.
Yeah.
That's what we call thought stacking. And it's what your brain does when you get into that mode, right? It's calling up other negative thoughts to support that first negative thought, and it's building momentum. And that's why it can feel really challenging to like switch into thinking positively. I am a money magnet. You know, your brain doesn't believe it. And what's more is you don't believe it, right? You don't believe it when you're like, she's better than me, she's smarter than me, she's blah, 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 all the things. And then you switch into money flows into my life effortlessly. You're like, no, it doesn't. You challenge it. So it's not about thinking positively. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's actually about learning how to minimize negativity. And the reason this is so powerful is because a negative thought, and this kind of speaking to what you and I were talking about on our hike today, like why do so many people skew towards the negative, right? Mm-hmm. Or why do they believe the negative so much more than the positive? It's because a negative thought, a negative thought is 4 to 7 times more impactful than a positive thought. And when you say it out loud, it's 10 times more powerful. So a negative statement, when you say it out loud, is actually 40 to 70 times more impactful than a positive statement. Jeez. And that's why when you say things like, she's further ahead than me, I knew I wouldn't be able to do this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not old, or I'm not young enough. I'm not techie enough. I'm not any of that kind of stuff. When you say that stuff about yourself to yourself, you give it life, and it builds and it builds and it builds, and you make it true because you fall in line with the person who believes that. And so you take less action. You hide, you play small, you play it safe, right? You complain, you justify, you blame, you put yourself around people who have other negative mindsets, right? You play the victim. You take part in like comment battles on social media, or you call other people out. You know, you engage in that negative behavior. You watch the news, like whatever it is. When you start to get into that pattern, you become that person because we become what we believe. And so if we really want to change it, it first starts with just like consciously choosing to not say it out loud, consciously choosing to catch yourself when you say it, right? Like really becoming aware the minute you say, ah, I knew I would, I'm so dumb. Catch yourself in that moment. Be like, ooh, I caught that one. And then you just start to build awareness. It becomes this muscle. You might not get it right every time in the beginning. You certainly won't, right? It's always going to keep coming up for you. But if you can catch it in the moment and cancel it as soon as you're aware of it, like if you're a weirdo like me, I will literally say cancel out loud. Like, and if I'm really in a thought loop, like I'll say cancel over and over out loud until I've just like interrupted my thought pattern. Like I'll just sit there on the patio by myself, like cancel, 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 cancel. Like just telling myself like, no, I don't want to think that way anymore. That's not who I am anymore. I refuse to. And then once you've caught it, you've canceled it, then we correct it with the new belief you want to believe. I'm getting better at this. I'm building skills. I'm raising my capacity. I'm getting better on video. You know, I know how to present better. I know how to take better photos. I'm learning. I'm becoming a better version of myself. And we start to step into a more empowering view of ourselves. And from there, things really start to take shape for us. Because it's not like you're never going to compare yourself to people online, right? I still do it. You probably still do it, Al.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we don't do it. That's never going to stop. It's just about learning how to not take those comparisons seriously anymore. It's about learning how to not make those comparisons true, not give them meaning, not make it capital T truth. This is what I believe about me. It's about learning how to take that power back and start reframing it to be in alignment with what you want to believe.
So catch, cancel, correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. And I love that you are saying, don't tell your brain a lie by saying, magical, I'm the best in the whole world, because your brain's not going to believe it, but you're speaking truth. The correction comes from the truth of I am getting better. Not I am the best, but I am getting better. And then your brain starts to believe that.
100%. And it's just like watching your I am statements. Like even so, one that I came into was like, I can't say that I'm a millionaire because I didn't believe it, right? Because at that time it wasn't true. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, I'm on my way to experiencing wealth, which was absolutely true. I'm on the path to building wealth, which was factually true for me, so I could get behind it, you know, or I'm getting better and better at managing money. I'm getting better at creating money. I'm getting better at growing money. I'm getting better at sales. You know, you just start to tell yourself truer statements.
Because there are a lot of people out there that are saying, no, say what you want that you already are. And so your brain starts to believe it. And I'm like, my brain's telling me you're lying.
Yeah. Your brain's like, malfunction, like abort, abort.
Yeah. And I love this concept too, because we're practicing it and then we start to see it and then our brain holds it and then we become it.
Yes. What you think and say is what you create. And so take that. Really take that seriously and be conscious about it, because most people will think by default. be conscious in how you want to think, and you'll watch your whole world change.
I write notes, and I got lots of notes going on.
Why don't you take notes on our hike, Rude? I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh. We should record some of those conversations, even though there'll be a lot of pausing.
Yeah, you would have to bleep me so many times. The whole episode would just be Jill bleeping. Are you proud of me now, though? I haven't needed to be bleeped once.
So proud of you. I was referring to the part, the really, really steep part where we're so out of breath, we can't even hold our conversation.
Yeah, fair. It's just like the fast forward part. Okay. And then the third one I wanted to, third one I wanted to jam on was money is a tool. And I learned this one in 2019, and I might bring in another piece that really served me as well, which was playing to win. But this really made a dent for me in 2019, because before that I white knuckled money. Like, I was scared to spend it. I was scared to lose it. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is money doesn't have any meaning, right? The only meaning money has is the meaning you are choosing to give to it. It's scarce. It's abundant. It's hard to make. It's easy to make. It's everywhere. There's never more where that came from, right? Like, the meaning money has is the one you are giving to it, which is great because that means you're in control of it, which is extra great because it means you can change it. And so money is a neutral tool. Money's energy. And when you white knuckle it, it's like you're being a stage 5 clinger. Right. And if you've ever gone on dates where you're like, oh my God, that was so fun. And then the person turns into a stage 5 clinger and they're texting you nonstop, like, when can we go out again? When can we go out again? That was really great. I miss you.
I didn't know
when
can we go out again?
Because you've had one boyfriend in your life.
Jared.
Shout out, Jared. But for myself, at least, who has had more than one boyfriend, to say the least. The stage 5 clingers always turned me off. I was like, nah, I do not want anything to do with this because they're needy. And that vibe of neediness and desperation, money runs so far away from that. Because all you're doing when you operate from that place of I need to make money, or I want to make money, I need this to work, is your focus is on the not having of the money. And so the universe, God, whoever, the higher power is like, cool. Well, she seems to be focusing on the fact that she doesn't want money, or that she doesn't have money, and what we think about, we attract. And so I'm just going to bring her more circumstances to facilitate the wanting of more money or the needing of more money. And so it seems so backwards, because most people think, no, I am focusing on wanting more money, or I am focusing on like making more money. But really, when you dive down into the depths of it, the focus is on the not having of it. And that's what you perpetuate. And so viewing money as a neutral tool allows you to see that money comes, money goes, money is easy, money is everywhere. And it's only your meaning that you are assigning to it that is either attracting it to you or keeping it away. And then viewing it as like, again, this tool that we can use to make more of it is one of the most empowering things, because then it's not scarce. Then we don't need it. We're leveraging it. We're using it in an impactful way to get our products out there, to get our message out there, to connect with the people who are aligned with what we have to say and sell. Mm-hmm. And money is like the fast track to all of that. And then the second piece I wanted to tag on to that is another aha I had right around the time of money as a tool was playing to win versus playing to not lose. And if you think about it deep down, like, how many of us at one point or another have been playing to not lose, right? Like, doing just enough, or making just enough to pay your expenses or to get by, or not really putting yourself out there, or not really going all in, right? Like, sidestepping it, mm-hmm. right? Whereas when you're playing to win, you're all in. Because you know that failure doesn't mean anything. Failure is just a stream of info that helps you get better. And so when you can operate from that place of playing to win versus playing to not lose, you will watch your life become so much more magical, because you're all in. Mm-hmm. You know, you have nothing to lose because you are the creator of everything you have. So that was like such a good eye-opener for me.
So good. That's like the burn the boat.
Yes.
Story where burn the boat. There's no going back. You got to go forward. No plan B. Let's do it.
No plan A. No plan B, because if you have a plan B, you don't really have a plan A. Let's keep it real.
Okay. So when we were talking this morning, you mentioned a gal who does very, very well. We're talking over 15 million a year. We're not going to say her name.
Said, I'm like, who was I talking about?
You mentioned that she is very giving with her money in terms of growth. She doesn't get the money and then hold on to it. She gets the money and she goes out there for exposure to show more people what they can do with it. And then that in turn has brought her in so much more money. And it was just an interesting thought of, I've seen people get money and then they just hold on to it.
Yeah.
And then we see people who get money, spend money, and then they grow. And it's so backward thinking. That's not taught anywhere, even in the entrepreneur world. Like, very rare is that taught.
I'm trying to think of which person I was talking about, but like, I just know so many amazing entrepreneurs who use money as a force for good, who have no attachment to it, right? Because it's the attachment, the like needing of it, that stops the flow of it. But when you give it away, or when you use it to make it have a serious ripple effect or make a massive dent in the world, like, just so much abundance flows into you. Money's like, here, I got more. I got more where that came from. You want to help more people? Yo, bros, come on, let's go. So, I just always think that when people take the disempowering meaning away from money, it flows into your life in an abundance that you can't even imagine because we're so limited in our thinking. Typically, most of us only think about what we can see, but there's like a whole other world of magic that is beyond our comprehension. And when you get out of the way of that, just so much magic and abundance. And I want to say luck, but like not in like a, oh, she got so lucky, but like conscious creation of luck, right? Like great circumstances flow into your life, opportunities, people, you know, ideas, all these are little manifestations that just makes life so much sweeter.
So there's this guy in Utah, Hunsaker, he's one of the richest people in Utah. And when he passed away, his wife told a story about when they first got married. He would give money away and they didn't have any money at the time, like nothing. And she'd be balancing the books and she's like, we're short. And the husband was like, yeah, I gave it away to the neighbor because they needed some. And at first she was like, oh, that's so frustrating. How are we even going to make this if he gives all the money away? Well, she learned over the course of his career and all the opportunities that were presented to him, she feels like God, the universe, whatever you believe in, gave more opportunities because he knew that he would give the money away and do good things with it. Now there's hospitals, libraries in his name, because he was such a giving soul that he was trusted with the money to be able to do good things with it. And as soon as I heard that story, I was like, oh, that is power.
Because he doesn't have a, like a vice grip on it, right? Mm-hmm. He knows that there's always more where that came from. Mm-hmm. And so because he believes that with his whole heart, it just flows into his life. The people I know who have the most money never worry about money. Not because they have a lot of it, but because they know they can always create more of it.
Mm.
So there's never a thought of scarcity because they know that, like, if you knew how powerful your thoughts were, you would never think another scarce thought in your life, right? You become more conscious of it, or at least you try not to. You catch, cancel, and correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think we leave it there. Catch, cancel, and correct. Like that right there.
Triple C.
That's so good. Let's make a shirt and wear it around.
Yes, let's. And we can be twins with our braids. We'll look so cool. Jared will be like, oh my God, you guys, please stop.
No, he'll probably ask for a shirt too.
No.
Okay. Where can people find you?
Yes, at the Millionaire Girls Club on IG, and then millionairegirlsclub.com is my essentially cyber home base. And then I have a podcast as well on iTunes and YouTube. And both of that is Millionaire Girls Club podcast.
Okay. If you're listening, well, you are, you're listening right now. Jill's just launching her podcast. Go over, rate, and review. Let's get her up on the charts. Let's see what we can do to help Jill's voice get out there. Cause you heard how powerful she was. More people need to hear her voice. Jill, you're so awesome. Thank you.
I love you so much. I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, guys.
All right. I hope you took as many notes as I did. And I have the top 10 takeaways from this podcast episode for you. But I do have to tell you, in the time that I was recording the intro and the outro of this podcast, we had another 150 people sign up for the 5-day sprint. So make sure you get registered on that, because I can at life.com/sprint. I don't know why the forward slash seems to be a tongue twister for me, but you know what I mean. All right. So here we go with the top 10 takeaways from Jill. Number 10, we are not taught in school to think like an entrepreneur. It's something that we must learn. Number 9, growth feels uncomfortable. Number 8, radical responsibility. Ooh, I loved that one. This is how you respond is the result that you get. Number 7, thought stacking spirals can paralyze you. And then 6, you become the person you believe you are. Number 5, don't say it out loud. Catch it before you say it. You want to catch, cancel, and correct. And that one was number 4. I love that. The 3 C's: catch, cancel, and correct. Number 3, watch your I am statements. Don't lie. Change it to I am getting better. Number 2, money is a tool. It's neutral. You put the drama behind it. All money does, it's a tool. It helps us. It's a neutral. And then the last one is, do you play to win or do you play to not lose? Oh, that was such a good podcast episode with Jill. So grateful for her generosity, for sharing so much value with us today. I hoped you love it. Yeah, it was good. Don't forget to go leave a review over on iTunes. Oh my goodness. I've got my daughter over here to the right distracting me. You guys, total mom life. So when I'm at home, I can shut myself in a door, in a room. But here at the cabin, it's a free-for-all. Anyway, I hope you have a beautiful day. I'm excited to see you next week and also excited to see you in that 5-day sprint. I'll see you there. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Because I Can podcast. If you've ever been interested on starting your online business, let me show you the 3 secrets to planning, launching, and growing your online store, even if you don't know what to sell. All you have to do is head over to 0-100k.com. That's where you can sign up for my free class. I'll go over why having a Shark Tank idea will make you fail. The little known trick that helped me to sell over $1.1 million in pillowcases with 0 following. And the secret to running a business when my kids took a nap. And if you were like I was, you just wanted to earn some extra money for your growing family, that's exactly why I created this system. And it has helped thousands of people make their first dollar online and countless others to go on and make their first $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, and even crossing the $1 million mark. So go over to 0-100k.com to grab your seat for the next class to find out how you can be the next one. Until next time, we'll see you later.